name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If an all good God exists, why is there evil in the world? This is an objection which perhaps some of us have heard. Certainly, many a person has used it as a basis for their rejection of religion. It's something that represents a fundamental problem for many human beings. How is it possible that there can be such evil in the world if God is good? Of course, we know the answer to this objection, which is that this evil does not come from God, but from creatures, either from their imperfection or their free will. If it comes from their imperfection, it is because creatures are made of matter, and therefore we can be wounded, we can be dissolved, we can die. That's not the case for a spiritual being. Such beings do not have multiple parts as we do. And having no parts, they can't be separated in any way. It's only those creatures that have a body who are capable of experiencing sickness and death. And so that is one of the reasons why there is evil. It is simply in the nature of things, because we are imperfect. But also because of the free will of men, of God's intellectual creatures, men and angels, God gave us that free will to give us the possibility of loving him, of doing good. But in order for us to do this freely, it means we must also have the capacity to not love God and to not do good. And yet, when God gives these gifts, any gifts of God, he gives them without repentance, meaning that once given, he doesn't change his mind. Even if he sees that we are abusing these gifts to no end, he will not take them away. So this represents another unfortunate source of evil in the world, that of the free will of creatures. And this evil also does not come from God, but from creatures. This objection that the existence of evil means God does not exist, it is one which is a fairly easy trap to recognize. We are Catholics. We know that we don't have such a problem with this idea, with this objection. But there is another one, quite similar to it, which is a much more serious objection, one which we may be more susceptible to. And it is that if God allows evil, or perhaps God allowed some great evil to befall me, therefore he does not love me. We know that God does not cause evil, but he certainly does allow it. And we see that in today's gospel. The servants come and want to get rid of the evil in the field. They want to get rid of these weeds which are going to damage the wheat. And yet God says no. He allows it to remain. God certainly does allow evil. Does this then mean that he does not love us? In the abstract, perhaps this objection does not pose such a problem for us. Whenever everything is going well, we can think about it and say, no, of course, it's silly. But when it becomes concrete, when evil afflicts me, especially undeservedly, then it is not at all unusual to begin to doubt God's love for me. And that's also true if I've failed God in some way, if I've sinned against him. In this case, I know the punishment is deserved, but I may think that God has begun to dislike me for my offense, that in some way it pleases him to exact a sort of vengeance for my crime. But neither of these things can be true. God is love, and God never changes. God created us out of love. He redeemed us out of love. And even if his creatures change, even if we cease to love him, he will not cease to love us. He cannot change. That's what it means to be God. We have, for example, also that complaint of Saint Teresa of Avila, at least that's attributed to her, when she asked our Lord, "Why do you send so many crosses to your friends? It seems as though those you love the most, you send the most evils to, or you allow the most evils to befall them." And we would say that this is the case precisely because they are God's friends. In other words, if God allows such things to befall us, it is precisely because he does love us. This is something that's very difficult to wrap our minds around. But if we look at the gospel, for example, God allows the weeds to grow. He allows a certain evil, but he does so precisely because he wants to save his beloved wheat from a greater evil, that of being uprooted along with the weeds, that of being destroyed along with them. And so, even if certain evils may be undeserved, God allows them precisely because he loves us, because he sees that through these things, we will avoid a greater evil and we will achieve a greater good. That is the case, for example, when it comes to the practice of virtue. Virtue is something that we all need. It is what perfects the human being. But it is something which cannot exist if there's not a little bit of a struggle. That comes from the very name of virtue, to act manfully. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Virtue is built up by hardness, but destroyed by softness. It is times of great prosperity that are always followed by times of great decadence. And so, if God sends us difficulty, it is perhaps to help us grow in virtue and to defend us from that greater evil, from that decadence which can follow upon great prosperity. The fact that God allows us to live in such times can actually be seen as a mercy. There are many who lost their souls in times of great prosperity, but many who came back to God when things began to be difficult. And so sometimes God sends us these things to help us grow, to help us become more attached to him. Sometimes he deprives us of certain things in advance to avoid some greater evil. We can think of those to whom God may give poverty, precisely because he knows that riches will be a very great evil for them, and it may cast their souls into hell. God also sometimes sends these difficulties because he knows that it's precisely when we're suffering that we turn to him. And he knows that great need that we have of him. And so in a certain sense, he takes things into his own hands to force us to turn closer to him. And as such, all of these things are actually great blessings from God. Even if we consider those evils which are inflicted upon us as punishments from God, even these, God acts out of love for us. And that's the case because all of God's punishments, all of his temporal punishments, are meant to be medicinal. And they will be if we take the right reaction to them. The book of Proverbs says, "He that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loves him corrects him in a timely fashion." That's the case for a parent. If we correct our children, we do so because we love them And it is inflicting a certain evil upon them. It is a punishment. But we do so precisely because we want them to grow up virtuously. We don't want them to continue down this bad path. And so it is with God. If he sees us going down a bad path, it is actually a great mercy from him to send us some difficulty, or let's say to take things into his own hands to stop us from going down that path. We look upon such corrections, such difficulties, as a sign of enmity from God. And in fact, they're quite the reverse. The fact that God forces us back to come back to him when we are traveling down the merry way to hell is actually a very great mercy from God. A real sign of enmity from God would be to let us continue down that path. The fact that he arrests that journey, the fact that he forcibly turns us back to him, that is actually a very great grace for us. And so God acts for us. He sends such things precisely because he loves us. Such things are more signs of love from God than signs of hatred. God cannot hate. It's impossible for him. Even when it comes to, let's say, sending those things if they are perhaps undeserved. There's almost nothing, if we're really honest with ourselves, that we don't deserve that God will send. But let us say, perhaps for the sake of argument, that there may be such. In such a case, we would say even then that this is also a sign of love from God. As one author puts it, God knows that the process of purification in the world to come, as compared with that same process on this earth, is much more serious, is much more painful. And therefore, God, in his love, gives generously of the cross to his friends, precisely to save us from the fate of having to be purified after this life, in the fires of purgatory. Basically, it is the idea that God understands how horrible purgatory is, and it's precisely because he loves us so much that he sends us suffering and crosses in this life, so that we may be freed from that which is to come. This is the way God works. God is love, and he cannot do anything but love. But he also sees things very differently from us, because we, quite simply, are blind. We see very poorly. God sees things from the point of view of eternity. He sees that that is our true good. And so, sometimes, to help us achieve that, he sends us difficulties in this life. Once again, it's not because he hates us, or he's disappointed with us, or anything like that. It's simply because he loves us, and he is trying, like the best of parents, to give us that which we need to avoid greater sufferings in the future and to become good and holy, so that we may enjoy great happiness with him. If we look at the Holy Family, there is no one on earth whom God loved more than his mother and his foster father. And yet we see the great lives of suffering that he gave to them. And it's not because he hated them, of course not. It's because he saw that this was the best life, it was the best gift he could give to them. Because it is what would help bring them to eternity, and it is what would help them be united to him in saving the souls of this poor world. And Our Lady and Saint Joseph, They weren't complaining about all these things that God sent them precisely because they understood this. Precisely because they saw these things as acts of love from their divine Son. And it is because of this that they were happy to accept such lives. May they obtain for us that grace to also understand very deeply the fact that whatever evil God allows, it's only because of his great love for us. that having a deep understanding of this, we may be able to enter with our Lord Jesus Christ on that road of the cross, that road which saves so many souls in this poor world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.